Columbus State Community College is a place that changes lives. A college that opens doors to well-paid careers in healthcare, engineering, IT, and more. An affordable college that offers the flexibility to balance work, family, and school. An open, supportive college where more than 40,000 students every year get education to improve their lives. Columbus State, the smart choice for what's next. Spring semester starts January 19th. Apply today at cscc.edu.
Warning. This is a comedy podcast that provides an irreverent, sarcastic, less than serious look at events described in the Bible. It contains profanity and explicit content and may not be suitable for children under 14. Listener discretion and a sense of humor strongly advised.
In a world where the Holy Bible is actually a streaming television show with a gigantic special effects budget, two people boldly watch and review every episode. Join these scripture script doctors as they discuss all the on-screen drama and off-screen hijinks of this fictional hit series.
Hello, welcome back everyone to Wrath of Pod. My name is Marcus.
Hi everyone, this is Deanna. And stop the goddamn presses. There are named female characters this week with lines. They got paid as actors, not as extras. Holy shit.
Mm-hmm. There's a whole story around them and everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, cannot wait. Of course, they made Miriam into a shrewish racist. But
right.
It's progress, I suppose.
It's a start.
It is. It's a start. And we've been letting them off easy. I think we haven't talked about this in a while. But yeah, the sexism continues unabated throughout season three and now the beginning of season four, with no representation for female characters and only men can bring their wives if they suspect them of adultery. There is no ceremony for the reverse, just like on and on and on. So, hey, Holy Bible Show, just because we haven't mentioned it in a while doesn't mean we're not noticing it. We are taking you to task.
I feel like they're maybe responding to pressure to some degree, but they are fumbling the ball, really. They're saying, oh, okay, yeah, we can get some characters in here, but they haven't quite got the message. They haven't quite got the spirit of what's being asked of them. And that's what we're seeing here. But saying all that, like you said, let's give them credit. Let's encourage them when they're doing it right.
That's true. So we will focus on the positive as we review this week's episode. This is season four, episode three of the Holy Bible.
Last time on Wrath of Pod.
We start off with people from the house of Gershon being told that if they are between the ages of 30 and 50, they've got some duties at the tabernacle.
We've got God calling down with a bunch more rules. And then there's this ceremony, which is meant to see if a wife has been unfaithful to her husband. Where does God come up with this stuff? You go roller skating, or hot air ballooning, or test for adultery-ing. Like, it's the hot new trend.
Next, we learn that there is this vow that people can do. It means getting closer to him.
They can get the cool VIP passes. Then, the leaders of each tribe bring in a set of special offerings to celebrate the setting up of the tabernacle. And the last thing is that Moses goes into the tabernacle to talk to God.
And we start with the answer, the response to the end of last week. Because if you remember last week, mm-hmm. we literally had a part where something was about to be said. And then it just stopped, cliffhanger on what was going to be said. Well, now we know what's going to be said. And the big reveal of what's said is that God gives these instructions on how to arrange lamps at the tabernacle.
I know this was such a letdown. If you thought this was going to be some big announcement about like, Moses, get the army ready. The attack is coming. Nope.
I wonder if there are like two people in the world who are like, yes, finally, the lamp arranging.
Right.
I've waited for this my whole life.
Yeah. They were the ones on the letter writing campaign. All the rest of us who were like, can we please have some strong female characters? And the producers are like, yeah, we don't know about that. Aha! We must answer the folks who want to know about the lamps. This is the nightlight lobby. And they're very powerful. This is big nightlight exerting a lot of pressure on the production team.
And also instructions on how to make sure that the Levites are dedicated to God. So as a reminder, there was a case where God said, basically, instead of asking for everyone's firstborn, they would have the Levites doing a whole bunch of tasks. There was a little bit of money exchanged as well, so it wasn't a complete one for one. But that was the basic gist of things. And so he, first of all, takes a while just to sort of keep restating how the Levites belong to him. And he wants everyone to know that these are his crew. And don't you dare think otherwise. And he just repeats himself again and again. What did you make of all of this repetition?
I think his anxiety is getting the better of him. He phones up Moses. And is like, I have to tell you this right now. And we're like, what? What is it? What is it? It's about the lamps. And about the Levites. I think he needs to up the dosage on Elzaphan and just check how he's got his meds balanced. He's got to just really, really make sure that you have all the instructions. And like I told you that, like, did I tell you this? I told you this, right? Like, yeah, we went over this. Okay, so just to reiterate. And you're like, dude, you need to chill.
Yeah, and to make sure that it's obvious that the Levites belong to him, are dedicated to him, he has this ritual where, to cleanse themselves, all the Levites have to be sprinkled with water. They then shave their bodies, and then all of the other Israelites put their hands on them.
Smooth as an android's bottom, eh, Data? I beg your pardon, sir?
And then they're offered like a wave offering. And then just for giggles at the end, they will sacrifice two bulls, because why not? Yeah. If in doubt, just throw a couple of bulls to be sacrificed.
So God is big on the manscaping.
Yep.
He needs the Levites to just get rid of all of their hair. Some more product placement there.
We need to talk about your balls.
Are they smooth or covered in bits of annoying fluff?
These are my balls. See how they glisten in the light? Your balls can be like these, but you got to use the right tools for the job.
Yes. Isn't it manscaping? Isn't that what they're called?
I don't know. Do you have one? Because I don't.
Right. I don't. I mean, I just have a razor. I don't have that brand.
Oh, you're just going old school. You're just using like a straight razor. You've got like a Sweeney Todd like flip, kind of setup here.
A flip knife.
Right. Yeah. That's how you do over in the UK. You're like, none of this electric razor situation. I'm just going straight for the switchblade.
You know, when I started college, that's a time when a lot of people are learning how to do different things for themselves because they've moved away from home. And one of the probably quite pampered people there didn't know how to shave, didn't know how to use an electric razor. I don't know how this came to be. He definitely needed it. I think maybe one of his parents had done it for him up to that point, and then he left for college and had to do it himself. So I had to explain to him how to shave.
Like up till 17, 18 years old.
Yeah, and that was 18. In the UK, it ends up being 18, 19. So, yeah.
Wow.
But they are working past the age of 19 because God is specifying that Levites are working from the age of 25 to 50 as priests. And that's their dedicated task. They can't do anything else. But also, we have a repeat of that relatively early retirement age of 50, which I noted last time was quite nice to see.
This sounds good. I'd do this. Sacrifice a bunch of animals and sprinkle some blood for 25 years of your life. And after that, you are good to go. You're out to pasture.
Yeah. And 25 is a pretty late start, too. So you hear all the time now how young adults are being infantilized by basically treating them as kids when they're 21, 22, 23, 24. But hold my beer, because Levites, that's been happening for them for a while.
I mean, that just goes to show how the Holy Bible is really a modern show and keeping up with these modern trends of these adolescents and emerging adults having that protected time when they don't have to work to be pursuing schooling or other activities. I mean, you could go through and get a whole master's degree before you have to go work at the tabernacle at this rate.
Amen.
I love them doing the wave. I really, really like when this show does some of that genre bending. They have this whole dance number where everybody puts their hands on the newly shaven Levites and they do the wave.
I could see that happening at the convention and coming on as either in the main hall before panelists come out, or maybe even just as you're walking through the convention, a sort of a bit of a salute among fans.
We need to make that happen. I'll do it if you do it, Marcus. We can just stand there in the middle of the convention hall and yell, "Wave offering!" I'm also totally disappointed that God isn't building some kind of weird genetically enhanced army with all of these firstborns. He traded them back. He traded them for the Levites. Mm-hmm. So what is he doing in that secret lab? My guess is that he's breeding a three-hump camel.
Oh, but my question is, what is inside the third hump? I wonder if there's some kind of laser gun comes out of it, or some kind of radar dish that could tell you where different people are.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to be using that for something. That's not just a hump for hump's sake, but it's going to be some kind of weapon or some kind of interesting tool inside, is my guess.
Ah, I see you have the machine that goes bing. This is my favorite.
Definitely. He definitely needs a little bit of help on the surveillance, as we've seen, because he has quite frequently dropped the ball on whatever is happening down on Earth. So then God reiterates to the Israelites that they have to celebrate Passover, and some men come to Moses and Aaron to say that they became defiled by a human corpse. And they're complaining because that means that they can't bring the Passover sacrifice or celebrate Passover with everybody else. I think someone in this writer's room just really liked Stand By Me, and they're trying to sneak it in here. How do you become defiled by a human corpse? How is this like a thing that just happened? Seriously, the meeting that these three guys have had beforehand to discuss their cover story when they go to complain to Moses and Aaron must have been incredible, right? Like, just say we were out walking, man. Just like say that like he just happened to drop dead right next to us. Like, don't tell them the bit about the hooker and the drugs and, you know, like just leave that. Okay, be cool. What actually happened here?
Yeah, or maybe one of their enemies decided to put them near a corpse and to disrupt their day and make their week hell by getting them kicked out of all of this by just wheeling a corpse around. Like, once you've been defiled, you can just hang out with corpses. So put them on a tray, wheel that around, and bingo, you just hang around your enemies, wheel that by, oops, sorry, oh, I just got you just got defiled, oh, my bad, and off you go, and you've ruined everyone's day.
Wouldn't that defile you too? Because you're also
in touch with the
corpse?
But it might be a worthwhile exchange. Maybe I get defiled by accident. And then I say, well, if I'm defiled, I'm going to get everyone else to be defiled too. Yeah. And so then I go around to my enemies and get them kicked out.
I like it. I'm going to turn this around. Wait a minute. I don't have to celebrate Passover if I'm defiled by a corpse. I can eat pasta and regular bread all week and not have to suffer through the matzah. Bring it on. Find me the nearest morgue. I am in.
I was going to say, the applications for the nearest morgue jobs are going to be just through the roof. You think AI has increased job applications? You just wait until you get an out of Passover option.
Because these guys have come to complain, Moses phones up God and asks what he should do. God picks up the phone, and I think he was distracted again. I think Real Housewives was on, and so he was only half listening to this phone call. But God says, it's okay, it's fine, like, whatever. If you're unclean because of a corpse, it's cool. You can still celebrate Passover. But wash your damn hands, okay? I think this is why we wash hands twice at Passover Seder, just to, like, really make sure, because touching a corpse is apparently fine, and we want to just make sure everyone's clean before we bring out the meal.
Yeah, especially because if this is a sudden change, you're going to Passover normally, you think you're totally fine, everyone around you has not recently been around a corpse, and then suddenly there's a change and three members of your family turn up, say, oh, I didn't think I could come because of various rules, but now I can, please pass the bread. You're going to be watching whatever they touch.
Then we have a bit of weather forecasting happening. So the tabernacle is covered in a cloud during the day and by a fire at night. So I hope there aren't any enemies of the Israelites hanging around, because this thing is going to be visible for miles. So when the cloud is gone, which is a sign that God isn't there, anymore. Then the Israelites can break down the tabernacle and pass out the pieces to the various houses and move on their way. But when the cloud is there, then they have to stay in place because God is in the house and they can't move.
Yeah, this is Google Maps by cloud, basically. Yeah. You're just looking at where the cloud is, deciding what to do. And I liked how they portrayed God being in the cloud because he must have used CGI, or who knows, could have been through some camera trickery. But as the cloud came in, you see God's head at the top of the cloud, like in a car, as it came down, looking over and then dipping back into the cloud. Reminded me a bit of like a submarine, you know, where you climb up the ladder and then you open and you look out and go back in. So that was nice.
Yeah. And his little feet sticking out the back, kicking furiously to paddle it through the air. Can you imagine if you're walking along with the tabernacle and you see this God cloud coming? You're like, ah, looks like rain. Looks like God. Yeah. Quick, got to get to the next rest area before he gets here so we can stop and set this thing up.
Yeah, the weather forecast really does bring on a whole new meaning. It's not just like, what does the weather allow you to do? But it's actually whether you're going to be migrating or not.
Meteorology is suddenly like a huge profession.
You almost have people whose job would be to monitor particular clouds, like follow clouds around so that you know where they're heading and know where they're coming. I'm heading your way. Watch out. And so forth. So
yeah, you got to get good at it, though, because you got to spot the right clouds, right? It can't just be any fluffy cloud that's moving, and every time you see a cloud moving, you start raising a panic and everybody's got to stop walking. You got to make sure that it's actually the God cloud that's coming in.
Yeah, you got to look for the bumper stickers on the God cloud. That helps you figure out which one is him.
We break for nobody.
Columbus State Community College is a place that changes lives, a college that opens doors to well-paid careers in healthcare, engineering, IT, and more, an affordable college that offers the flexibility to balance work, family, and school. Spring semester starts January 19th. Apply today at cscc.edu.
So God next orders people to make these two silver trumpets. When both trumpets are blown together, everyone has to meet at the tabernacle. When only one of them is blown, then just the leaders need to come. So this is kind of a nice way for God to basically get everyone to meet up as needed. And it also becomes a bit more complicated, though, because these trumpets, not only is it about a big kind of group meeting, but it's also about when different sides of the camp can start to move. And it's also going to be used in war. There were like different sounds or different rhythms that meant different things. He went a bit trumpet mad.
Yeah, and I was completely shocked that they were made out of silver.
I love gold!
I think this is the first big thing that God has ordered them to make that's not gold. What is going on here?
I think it's because he knows he's not the one who's going to be blowing the trumpet, so he kind of wants to give other people the lesser metal. Mm. He wants other people to have the silver while he keeps all the gold.
Yeah, that must be it. And God says the trumpets are going to be used in war, like more table setting for this eventual battle. I'm like, come on already. I'm dying over here with the anticipation. Clearly, there's going to be some huge battle and they're going to be summoning people to the muster and all of that kind of stuff.
The beacons are lit! Gun knuckles for aid!
We see the cloud system in action as the cloud lifts off from the tabernacle, and you see people start to look, see the cloud move and start to panic and start to grab all their stuff, pack it all up, say, quick, we gotta go, we follow the cloud. And then the ark goes first and everyone getting to their respective places. You got people grabbing the curtains, you got people grabbing the ark, and then there's this long procession, one tribe after the other, following the cloud.
The music was great, there was that nice marching tune as they were all heading on. We got Dan in there just proudly carrying his own banner. Finally, we get to go somewhere. This is the first time that they've moved from Mount Sinai. They got to Mount Sinai about halfway through season two, and that is the location that we have been in through the rest of season two, the entirety of season three, and now all the way up to episode three of season four. And now we are finally on the move. We're doing the thing. We're going to Canaan.
So as they're heading out, Moses invites his brother-in-law, Hobab, to come with them. At first, Hobab's like, no, no deal. I've got my own whole system here. But eventually Moses persuades him and he comes along.
Moses is all like, come on, man. road trip, like, gonna be fun. Like, come on with us. It's gonna be great. I'm with Hobab here. I'm like, nah, like, we've been staying with you for a while and we've been hanging out. But now that you're about to head off on your predestined march to this land, like, I'm gonna go back and do my own thing. But Moses is not having it.
What's your preference if you're going on some sort of group trip? Do you prefer to be in the car with the group on the long trip, or do you prefer to just take your own car in parallel with the group?
Oh, I am 100% taking my own car. Mm-hmm. Nobody is telling me what to put on the radio. I've got my own podcasts loaded up. I got my own tunes. I need to just chill out. I'll do the driving if that's what it means.
How about you? I think I'm the same.
So
if I'm Hobab in this situation, I am telling Moses to fuck off.
But it doesn't work. Moses is very persuasive. And this is despite Sipora just looking daggers at him the whole time. Seriously? I thought we were rid of all of these house guests. Like, it was nice to have my brother staying with me for a while, but you just invited him to do this whole walk with us across the desert, like, without asking me? What the fuck, man?
Yeah.
She's going to have some words with him later, clearly.
And not just about that. I think she'll also be having words with him because he has this special chant that he gives whenever they start traveling and whenever they stop. Mm-hmm. And this made me think Moses is 100% the sort of person who will run a workshop or something and then decide that you've got to have some icebreaker at the beginning, some fun icebreaker. This is Moses 100% with his special chant whenever they start, whenever they stop. He is the one who's saying, go around and give us one fun fact about yourself or whatever.
You're anti-fun, Marcus.
I am clearly anti-fun. That's right.
I was again getting kindergarten teacher vibes here. Like, this is the cleanup song, class. We always sing the cleanup song when we clean up. And it's perfectly appropriate for a bunch of three-year-olds and literally nobody else. So as they're marching along, the Israelites start complaining about the food. We have the return in spades of the Hebrew Complaint Brigade. They only have manna, which they're making into different recipes. They're grinding it up and preparing it in a bunch of different ways, mixing it with different amounts of olive oil and trying it with different textures. So I liked that creativity, but they want some meat.
I'm starving. We ain't had nothing but maggoty bread for three stinking days.
Why can't we have some meat?
And they say that the food was better in Egypt. I mean, Egyptian food is delicious, so they're not wrong. But wow, talk about some rose-colored glasses going on here. They were literally enslaved and being whipped and beaten and having all of their firstborn children stolen away from them and murdered. But the food was better. They had cucumbers in Egypt, and all we have right now is manna, and they want some meat. So the person responsible for bringing these complaints up to Moses, obviously, because it's food-related, they got Wolfgang Puck.
You don't have to worry about kneading the dough. You don't have to worry about proofing the dough. You don't have to worry about cooking. Everything is done by your bread maker. He is a baker in disguise here.
Can you imagine being Moses? You've done all that work getting them out of Egypt to the point of parting the sea, walking through all of that stuff, and yet this crowd of jokers is complaining about the food being better in Egypt. I'd be furious.
Absolutely. God is so angry at this that he actually sets some of the outskirts of the camp on fire. He sends down some of his classic lightning and he burns up some of the tents over there. And yeah, even Moses is displeased by this. He's a therapist. He's usually pretty patient and he just cannot handle it. And he complains to God about this. He's saying it's not fair that he has to deal with all of these people complaining to him. It's not his fault. He goes so far as to say that he would rather that God just kill him. He would rather die than having to deal with hearing all of this whining from Wolfgang Puck and all of these other Israelites about the stupid manna.
And that's not the kind of thing you say lightly around God,
right?
Who has been known to smite at the drop of a hat.
Yeah.
So to have him say, yeah, maybe you should just kill me. I wondered if this was a major bluff, you know.
I had the same thought. I think it's a ploy.
Just to kind of communicate the extent. And because Moses knows that God likes him And he's one of the few people that God likes.
Yeah.
So he doesn't want Moses going anywhere. He doesn't want him leaving the job. He doesn't want him going to do something else. So he's saying, look, this is just getting too much for me. I might have to call it quits, literally, in yeah. terms of my life, if this keeps going. Can you freaking do something about it? So I agree. I think it's a strategy.
So God does something about it. The first thing that he does is that he says he'll help Moses by appointing 70 elders to help out Moses, so Moses doesn't have to hear all of the complaints on his own. So God's going to have a bit of helpful diffusion of responsibility here. Moses doesn't have to be the point person for everything. And the next thing that he does, I love, God is so sassy this episode. He says, fine, hey y'all, you want meat? I'll give you meat. I will give you meat for a whole month.
You read the Bible, Ringo?
Not regularly, no.
Well, there's this passage I got memorized.
Numbers 11, 19. You shall eat not one day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, nor 10 days, nor 20 days, but for a whole month, until it comes out of your nostrils and becomes loathsome to you, because you have despised the Lord who is among you, and have wept before him, saying, why did we ever come up out of Egypt?
I never gave much thought to what it meant. I just thought it was some cold-blooded shit to say to a motherfucker before I popped a cap in his ass.
Oh my God, I cannot believe that he said that. He is so petty here. It was so much fun to watch him respond to this whining. What did you think about this?
Yeah, this is classic monkey's paw thing where someone's like, yeah, I'd like some meat, please. And he's like, okay, you want meat? You're going to get a lot of meat. So yes, I like this sass. I liked it.
So Moses assembles these 70 elders at the tabernacle, and God puts some spirit into them so that they can prophesy, so that they can serve a similar role to Moses. But only 68 of them show up. Two of the elders who are invited in this special group of 70, their names are Eldad and Medad, don't come to the tabernacle to go through this special ceremony with God, but they start prophesying anyway.
Yeah, I love these two, Eldad and Medad. It felt a bit like kind of an El Dude, Me Dude sort of situation. They were both very kind of California hippie kind of yep. guys. Like, I'm Eldad and I'm Medad. I like that a lot.
And they definitely just overslept the meeting. They're both in these Hawaiian shirts and their eyes are a little bit bloodshot. They're like, yeah, bro, like, I don't have to go to that thing. Like, we're cool, right? It's okay.
Anytime they introduce each other, one would say, I'm Eldad, and one would say, I'm me dad. And then together we're the dads. And then that was nice.
Bill, my friend.
Yes, Ted, my friend.
This has been a most excellent adventure.
That was good. I like their deal. Joshua, though, does not like their deal. Joshua's got like house prefect vibes. He's really into enforcing the rules.
Excuse me, I'm head boy.
So Joshua sees that the two of them are prophesying, even though they had not showed up at the meeting like they were supposed to. And he runs to tattle to Moses and asks them to stop. Oh, he's such a rule fetishist.
Yeah, he's not cool with the Eldad and the Medad at all.
And Moses tells him that. Moses basically tells Joshua, like, don't be so strict about the rules, okay? The whole point of all of this was so that everybody wouldn't be complaining to me all the time. So it's fine if these two guys want to keep prophesying, because I could really use the help.
Yeah, Moses' eyes were rolling right to the back of his head when Joshua started complaining. Because it's exactly what he said. He hates all these complaints. After that scene, to have Joshua come up to him and say, I've got a complaint. Yeah, those eyes were rolling back.
And then after getting all of these other elders sorted out, God keeps his promise about serving meat. He sends quails. Again with the quail. Why is quail his go-to? He's got to feed like 2 million people. I would have done like burgers and hot dogs or something. You can feed a crowd in a hurry. Why quail?
It's pretty random, isn't it? If you were at someone's house and they said, oh, you know, hey, are you feeling, as we'd say in the UK, peckish? You feeling peckish? Mm-hmm. I'd say, yeah, I could do with a snack. And then they reached around with their hand and a dish with quail. Can I offer you some quail? What?
Yeah.
Double take. Mm-hmm. But that's what he goes with.
Have you ever had quail? I don't think I've ever.
No, I haven't even had it.
Wow. Well, maybe they'll put a recipe in the recipe book that they clearly need to release in the Holy Bible shop as to how on earth to prepare it. I have no idea.
And what happens next? I'm kind of glad I haven't had it, frankly.
Yes, that's true. Maybe we should not try the quail. So people collect the quail and start eating them. But then God gets angry all over again, and he sends a plague to strike them down. So God is really pissed about this complaining situation. I think Wolfgang Puck was running for cover at this point.
Yeah, it's a bit of a confusing message because they say, please, please give us some meat. God says, okay, here you go. Here's a bunch of quail. And then he turns around and lets the quail kill some people. Maybe it's God's sort of twisted sense of justice. Not only is it coming out your nostrils, but you might actually end up dying after having it.
A blessing from the Lord.
Before Deanna and Marcus wrap up this episode, I am here to tell you that my 11th commandment is, you shall not enjoy this podcast without rating and reviewing it.
Good idea, O Lord.
Help others to find this podcast by rating and reviewing it on your podcast app. Now let's return to the action.
God be praised.
Me be praised. God out.
So now we have a bit of drama. Miriam and Aaron are speaking bad about Moses. And the reason they're speaking bad about Moses is because his wife, Zipporah, is Ethiopian. And that, for them, does not fly. They are, basically, they're racist. So God is very direct. He brings Moses, Aaron, and Miriam to the tabernacle, and he is not having any of this. He tells off Miriam and Aaron. As we know, Moses is God's main man, so it's not a surprise. But he basically says, look, you got no right to slag him off. He's doing great. Lay off of him.
Some people in this family are cool with the interracial relationships, and some just are not. So shout out to the show. I thought this was incredibly relatable to modern situations where some folks are out there and loving who they want to love and some members of their family are just not having it. And I thought it was especially wicked for Aaron and Miriam to be telling off Moses. They don't go to Zipporah directly, right? Because they're a bunch of racist cowards. They're not going to say anything to her face, but they're slagging off Moses for marrying her. It's just ugly. And God calls them out on it. He's got some very positive things to say about Moses in the course of this big speech that he gives about how Moses is really great. God says that Moses, and I quote, sees the form of the Lord. Oh, does he now? Is that what he was doing up there on Mount Sinai for 40 days, was seeing the form of the Lord? Because the form of the Lord is looking pretty good after all those laps in his shekel swimming pool.
Mm-hmm.
Looks nice in some tight jeans. I think Moses is into it.
Maybe he's been doing some nude painting of the Lord right. Or something like that. Certainly been some posing going on.
There's definitely some Titanic level art projects that exactly. were happening on that couch.
So God is pissed about this complaining, and again, a monkey's paw kind of consequence. What he does is he makes Miriam leprous. Now, the consequence of this is that it turns her white, really pale, really white. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a kind of jab at them, specific jab at what they were complaining about. So you were complaining because Zipporah is Ethiopian. Well, guess what? Now you've got this disease and you are turned completely white. How do you like that?
I like where God is going with this. I do not like that the consequence is only for Miriam and not also for Aaron. I think they probably should have gotten an equal share in this punishment. But yeah, this is more sass from God. Check it out. He's got his personality back. I love it.
And Aaron is not too happy about this. We don't hear much from Miriam, but yeah. I'm guessing she's not too happy about this either.
No, she's just looking in the mirror and screaming in the background.
Yes, exactly.
This whole scene,
literally pulling out her hair, right?
Yes.
And Aaron is begging God to take it back. And at first, God's like, I'm good. I think this is a good solution for everything.
Yeah.
Then Moses gracefully asks God to also take it back, even though it was against him, and to heal her. So God reaches a compromise and says, well, if she stays outside the camp for 7 days, then she'll be healed and then she can come back, but not until then.
Oh boy, Thanksgiving is going to be awkward this year.
Right. And then at the very end of the episode, after the 7 days is over, we have the cloud moving on and the Israelites doing what they do, which is to keep journeying on with their tabernacle and everyone all lined up. Mm-hmm. And that's where it closes out. So with that, I'm going to ask you, Deanna, what do we think about this God character?
I am not the God of war. I am the God of truth.
God likes to watch. He's a prankster.
Blasphemy. You're lucky I don't cast you out or smite you or something.
You've been doing a lot of complaining about me. Quite frankly, I'm tired of it.
How shall we fuck off, O Lord?
Oh, wow. This is a rare one. I'm coming down on a positive for God. This episode, I thought he was great. I love his punishment with the too much meat. Like, you think you wanted meat? I'll give you meat. And, you think being dark-skinned is so bad? I'm going to make you really, really white. Fuck you. Like, yeah, he is so sassy this episode. I loved to see it. What do you think, Marcus?
Yeah, 100%. I really liked it. I really liked seeing all of the different ways that God would be punishing different things. He often had a sort of a half smile on his face as he was doling out all of these punishments. I think God's stock went up a bit after this episode.
Yeah. And the next thing that we need to decide about is, what was the weirdest name in this week's episode?
I'm sorry, what was your name again?
Say my name.
Bigus.
You're goddamn right.
I have a very great friend in Rome called Bigus Dickus.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Wait, no, seriously, what's your actual name?
Wait, your Bigus Dickus hears of this.
Well, for me, it had to be Eldad and Me Dad. Love those two. Love their little intro. And that they were just a couple of chill dudes. Sometimes they'd introduce themselves like, he's Eldad and he's Me Dad. Together with the dads. And I just like that whole setup.
Yeah, well, the dude abides.
How about you? What was your weirdest name?
Yeah, I was going for Me Dad specifically.
Okay.
And I think we have a return of the too quick midwife here. So clearly what had happened in Me Dad's past is that the midwife comes out and announces to this man, Mazel Tov, you've had a son, you're a dad. And he goes, me? Dad? And she writes it down and that's the kid's name.
Nice.
So still no battle scene this week, but there's always next week. So I will be tuning in again, very excited to see if we finally get our epic battle that they've been setting up, and to see if God continues his trend of having a personality for once. What do you think we have to look forward to next week?
Well, I'm guessing it's going to be more following the clouds. So I just hope that God takes the cloud and therefore all the Israelites to an interesting locale. That's what I'll be looking out for. Bit of a change of scenery. I think we need it.
Sounds good. I will look forward to that as well. But until then, Marcus, Pod be with you.
Pod be with you.
Amen.
Amen.
To continue the conversation, follow us on social media at Wrath of Pod. To get in touch, email us at mail@wrathofpod.com. Pod be with you.
All views, thoughts, and opinions expressed in this podcast are our own and are presented for entertainment and commentary purposes only. Any third-party music, clips, or other media are included solely for the purpose of critique, commentary, review, or transformative use, all of which fall within fair use. We make no claim of ownership over included third-party material, which remains the property of its respective owners. This podcast is not affiliated with, endorsed by, or sponsored by any of the creators, owners, or distributors of included media.
Columbus State Community College is a place that changes lives. A college that opens doors to well-paid careers in healthcare, engineering, IT, and more. An affordable college that offers the flexibility to balance work, family, and school. An open, supportive college where more than 40,000 students every year get education to improve their lives. Columbus State, the smart choice for what's next. Spring semester starts January 19th. Apply today at cscc.edu.